Welcome to Sex Unshackled. I am Becky Crepsley Fox, and this podcast is where sexuality and spirituality meet. Today on Sex Unshackled, I have Christopher Lovestone with me. Christopher is a certified sex educator who is breaking new ground in sex education for men and couples. He uses a practical approach to help clients get what they really want in their long-term relationships. Christopher has written the wonderful book, Conscious Cock, The Empowered Sexuality Manual for Men. And I am super excited to have him here with me today. Christopher, can you please tell the listeners what brought you to this work?
You know, we each have our own journey of erotic and sexual evolution in our lives in this body on earth, right? And I came from a very sexually oppressed background. So much shame about sex. And that's a very common story for a lot of people. But in my life as a child, there was so much fighting and trauma in the relationships that my mother was in, one after another, after another, that I saw all these things that I knew I didn't want. I didn't have any role models of what I did want, but I knew what I didn't want. I didn't want the fighting. I didn't want the lack of emotional connection. I didn't want any all the arguing and all of that. I just knew I wanted hot, long-term emotional intimacy and sex, like really like inspiring sex. I just knew, not the Hollywood fairy tale, but like true engagement lifelong, long-term. So in my own life, I went out searching for that. Went to the library starting at 13, trying to find books on sex ed. What about masturbation? And I couldn't find anything. So anyway, I've spent my life studying communication, anatomy and physiology, sex education, eroticism, and also education. I trained to be a teacher. And then in my own life, you know, I've managed to build this kind of life of my dreams. But as I was looking at the world today, post Me Too, I just saw so many guys, men, cishet men, stuck in paralysis between a rock and a hard place. Lots of empowered women saying, where are all the empowered guys? But then all these guys not knowing how to proceed, not knowing how to bring their sexual power out in their relationship without being considered a jerk or labeled a misogynist or male supremacist or what have you, like literally just paralyzed, stuck in nothing, wishy-washy. I said, well, I've got a system that works. I'm a good educator. I'm a good curriculum developer. Let me systematize what works for me and put it out there for cishet guys and say, hey guys, this works for me. Try it on if you like, see if it works for you. If it doesn't, try something else. But like, here's a roadmap, like to exit the paralysis.
I love that. And you have, is it 15 years you've been married?
16 years we've 16 been together years. Now. We just celebrated 16 years. Yes.
So you have a very successful marriage of your own.
I consider it. Well, it's the most inspiring one of anyone I see around me. So yeah.
Yeah.
I wish more people could have that.
Well, that's what you're doing, right? You're helping people have that. Yeah.
Right.
So Chris just mentioned this a little bit, but we're going to talk about some aspects of Christopher's book. And I just wanted to make another note on terminology. So the words we use in this episode will be quite gendered and heteronormative, because these are the kinds of relationships that Christopher has a passion about and excels in working with. So we're mainly discussing men and women in a cishet relationship, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I deal specifically with heterosexual couples and heterosexual guys, or people that I identify that way today. You know?
Yeah. So Christopher, I'm wondering, out of the book, what do you think, which bit do you think is like the most important bit? Can you tell us about that today? And I know it's going to be super hard.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, when I thought about things, I thought, how do I get guys that are feeling paralyzed from point A to point B? How do I establish a kind of common denominator baseline relationship and sex education for these men? And I broke it into five things, not one. I couldn't find one. Number one, was like, we had to upgrade their mental processes. There were so many beliefs that they'd been programmed with, we've been programmed with in our culture, that are outdated. For example, ownership and relationship, or what a man, quote, air quotes, should do, or what it means to, quote, be a man. We have to just get rid of these things and install some upgrades. So attacking erroneous beliefs that are out of date, that don't stand the litmus test in 2021. So we got to talk about our perspectives. Limiting beliefs. We have to do that. So that number one is we got to address our limiting beliefs, the things that we've inherited from our caregivers and our culture. And then let me see. Number two, just to go over them quickly, understanding women. Guys are confused. Guys don't, they don't understand the menstrual cycle. They don't really get how women often, generally, stereotypically speaking, experience men in relationships. They don't, they tend to be bewildered and lost. But I've grown up with women. I've been surrounded by women all my life in school of education and massage school. Like, just, I've been in cultures and communities with tons of powerful women. So I get how to interface with women. It's not that hard. Just give him a roadmap, give a guy a roadmap and then teach him, give him a hand up. Anyway, number three, sex education. Modern sex ed, not 20-year-old sex ed. Like modern sex ed, we've got such a detailed modern understanding of the nerves that innervate the vulva that we didn't have 20 years ago. There's actual nervous system maps today that we didn't have back then. We understand the erectile tissue structures, the internal structure of the clitoris. Guys don't have this information. They watch porn and think they know what sex is. They watch porn and think they know how to touch a woman. That's not true. Anyway, number four, intimacy tools, like communication tools for your relationship. You have to understand how to handle problems, how to really listen to people. And then last thing, the thing that all the guys want to know is sex technique, how to last longer in bed, how to give better pleasure, more orgasms and stuff like that. I couldn't get it any smaller than a five-pronged approach. And they're sequential. You got to start with the first thing, which is your beliefs, you know, and then proceed through the other steps. I won't teach you the sex techniques until you've got these other foundational concepts first.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if I just teach you the sex technique, it's hollow. You don't actually have the character to wield those techniques in a really ethical, egalitarian way. Anyway, so I start with perspectives and understanding your partner and communication tools and modern sex ed, then I'll teach you the actual techniques.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I really love this kind of multidisciplinary approach that you bring in the book. And I think we've needed an up-to-date men's manual for quite a while. There's quite a few really great ones for vulva owners, but for men, it, you know, what's the one that I'd be reading? Men's sexual, I don't know, an old one.
Do you know one?
Yeah.
I've never found one.
I've got one. Okay. I'll email it to you. I just can't remember what it's called, but it's old. Like, it is really old. But there's still some,
I would love to
stuff.
See it.
Yes, I will send you.
Because I looked my entire life and I haven't found one. And I said, guys need to have kind of like a how-to manual. Like, guys don't know about their cocks. They don't know about the different erogenous zones on their penis and their body. They literally think it's just the crown of the head. No. There's so much more to our bodies, to penis owners' bodies that guys need to understand in order to actually be able to be embodied in lovemaking. Yeah. Not just in their heads or not just being a robot or a pile driver. Anyway, I would love to see it because I never found one. I was like, I got to write this because it doesn't exist in the world.
There is one. It differs quite greatly to the one you've written, but there's something, which is good. So what I see in my therapy practice quite a lot is that women in long-term relationships report that their desire dwindles. Right? Now, I'm sure this happens for men too, but I'm wondering if you have any information for us about this dwindling of women's desire.
I, at first glance, say in a heterosexual relationship is the guy's fault. Just stereotypically speaking, just making a gross generalization, okay? Just talking like a bell curve here, that the guys tend to act like boys. And then in long-term relationship, the woman tends to feel like she's taking care of a child rather than a man. That's not sexy. Or maybe he's farting and belching loudly, or he doesn't cut his toenails. His underwear has got holes in it and is 4 years old. Like, lack of self-care. Guys tend to let themselves go and also fail to be attuned to how her mind is changing over the years. What's captivating her interest today, this year, as opposed to 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Because we all change. And if you expect your partner to be the same person for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that's wrong. It's a fallacy. We're in these bodies, we evolve, we invert, we reverse. You don't necessarily believe the same thing that you used to believe 20 years ago, right? Ideas, concepts, beliefs change. So guys, a lot of times I see them not being attuned to what her interests are, what her motivations are, and also the fears that she has and the concerns and the worries that she carries on her shoulder. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's about the kids. Maybe it's about COVID. Maybe it's about work, whatever it might, maybe it's about mom who's sick. Whatever those concerns and worries are, if he doesn't get her reality, if he can't demonstrate to her that he gets her world and how she experiences it, that's a turnoff. What is a turn on? I find is somebody who gets you, understands the minutia of how you work, how you see things in the world, and can meet you there. Then you're like, oh my God, you get me and you love me. I want to share myself with you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I see that that's a huge issue. Guys kind of, they let themselves go and they fail to be attuned to how she's experiencing the world. They kind of get in a pattern instead of staying dynamically engaged in an improvised dance every single day. So I teach improvisation. That's the skill to long, or the like key to long-term relationship success, is improvising with your partner, constantly reinventing yourself, constantly meeting them where they are today, because they're different today than they were yesterday. Different things are on their minds and on their heart today than there was yesterday.
So how might they improvise? If someone's listening to this and they're like, improvisation sounds cool, but like, what do I do?
Dialogue, communication with words, verbal discourse, learning how to elicit from your partner what's going on inside of them. How are you? How was your day? It's a really simple cliche thing. If a guy is not asking his partner, how was your day? She's like, well, he's not interested in me. Mm-hmm. So why is she going to be hot for him if he's not interested? He's not demonstrating interest. So you can start there. Like, be interested. How are you feeling? What's on your mind recently? Like, is there anything causing you anxiety? Like, that's it. Just ask and be there and like sit in the conversation and be interested and ask questions because you're genuinely interested. That's a great starting point, just to know, like, hey, how are you feeling? Like, we haven't checked in or anything, where we've just been in our routines of making breakfast and doing the dishes and, you know, getting to work and all the stuff, like just living together and cohabitating. Well, how about that engagement that you had early in your relationship? Remember that, actively seeking out how to learn more about your partner that you used to do, and do it now.
Yeah.
What's changing in your beliefs? How is your heart shifting? Like, what's new for you this year?
Yeah, we call that updating love maps, right? Which I just think is like such a beautiful word for it. Because as you say, at the beginning of relationships, we go on these dates and we talk to each other and we learn all the things and we have such colorful love maps of the person that we're dating. But then 5 years, 10 years down the line, we don't know. Is their favorite meal still lasagna? Do they still like to go to the cinema? You know, is Julie their best friend still? Like, who knows? We don't know any of this stuff because we're not asking. And as you say, we shift so much, and it's about this active listening, asking sincere questions to create this love map of the partner. It's super important.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it for you.
Well, someone else might, and that's the problem.
Ah, there you go. So it's good to stay engaged. Yeah. Because otherwise somebody else who's more interested, more attentive, exactly, might come along and what do you show you up? Like, I forget the metaphor there, but like,
yeah, show you up.
Do better than you're doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned some of it then, of what a man can do in a long-term relationship to kind of cultivate more of this intimacy. What else can he do to kind of stoke the fire in a relationship with a woman?
Well, having a conversation telling your partner that, hey, I would like our relationship to have fulfilling physical and emotional intimacy. I just want that in my life and in our relationship with each other. And I'd like to do a few things and try a few things out to spark that up a little bit and keep fueling that fire so it doesn't fade away. So, hey, would you be open to trying a few things? I've got a couple ideas myself. Maybe there's something that's been on your mind or in your heart that we've never done, or you've always wanted to do in your life that we never talked about. Like, I don't know. There's a exercise in the back of my book, and you can also get it as a free download on my website, consciouscock.com, which is called the Yes, No, Maybe Worksheet. And it's just a list of erotic, intimate, and sexual activities that you might enjoy doing in your life at some point, like taking a shower together or a bath with rose petals or anal sex or a threesome, like just a whole long list of various things. And, you know, you could say, hey, would you like to fill out this fun worksheet with me? And if you're lighthearted and being fun about it, it's inviting. Like, oh, you might find some things that you're interested in, that your partner's interested, that you never interested in, that you never knew. Mm-hmm. So you just go down the list and check, oh yes, I'd like to do that thing before I die. Or no, I wouldn't like to do that thing ever. Or maybe if we had a conversation or certain requirements were met to make me feel comfortable, you know, and you just fill them out and compare notes. Like you can bring in fresh inspiration from outside and around you. You don't have to come up with all the ideas. There's tons of resources today. People like yourself and me are offering worksheets and downloads and ideas and videos and podcasts. And you can get these things and put some effort into thinking out of the box to expand your erotic toolkit or playground and bring in some fresh energy by finding out what your partner might be interested in. Maybe it's reading 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, it could be anything, you know?
Yeah, even, you know, watching a movie on the telly and seeing them do a position that you've never tried and say, do you feel like doing that sometime? It doesn't always have to be this really serious conversation, does it? It can just be, oh, wow, look at them. Are you interested in doing that, with a little wink, and, you know, see what they say?
That sounds great. Winks are awesome. Highly recommended. Flirting, you know, like getting your partner to laugh, right? Like looking at them in the way that makes them go, oh, if you can do that without with it being good in your relationship, with it being nourishing, with it being received well by your partner. You know, you got to find the way that you can infuse new energy and have it land well. And that's by having conversations, by reading your partner's nonverbal cues and verbal words.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of us are brought up kind of infused with shame. People find it embarrassing to talk about this stuff and they feel really restricted. What can a man do to empower himself so he's more exciting, enticing to his partner? How can he get that empowerment as well?
Okay. A bunch of that in the first section of the book about installing upgrades. Honestly, there's some physical things that are just real world tangible things that you can just go do, not like things you have to work on and practice for, you know, 20 minutes a day for a year or something like that. Go out and go to a stylist and tell them, I want a makeover. Give me a new style. Let's try something new. You got some books to look at. Let's go through, like, getting a makeover with a new hairdo, or if you have facial hair, a beard or a color or something like that, maybe get some color, like something that brings a delight of a change in your life. You know, you can go to the store in the mall or some clothing store and find somebody there that is working in the store and say, hey, I need a new look. Like, all my clothes are old. I feel stale. You know, this dressing differently, getting a different hairstyle, makes you feel different. It's an outside in thing. If you look different, you feel different. If you have new clothes, some nice clothes, different style, it makes you feel renewed and new again. So this is a very simple thing to do. Go get some new underwear and don't just get the tidy whities. No, go get something fun with some color where the seams are a different color, or maybe the silk boxers or the bamboo boy shorts, or, you know, something fun. Right? That feels nice. Trim your nails, take care of yourself. If you've got calluses, sand them off. If there's some issues health-wise, go to the doctor. For example, hemorrhoids. oh God, he just said the bad word, the H word. No, people don't want to talk about that. Well, you know, it can get in the way of you feeling sexy or being sexy to your partner. What do you have? Hangnails? No, sand that stuff, you know, get soft hands. If you always have 5 o'clock shadow, like, no, shift that. Either grow a beard that's soft or get a clean shave, you know, bring home flowers. Plan some romantic thing, like an infusion of energy. What I'm talking about here is effort. And I see an effort mismatch in a lot of heterosexual relationships where the woman puts in a lot of effort into her appearance, into maintaining her body and her health, into keeping the house nice. And the guy tends to put in a lot less. And that inequity is not sexy. Mm-hmm. Effort demonstrates that, like, you're taking care of yourself. You're a grown-up. You're not a child, right? You're not expecting somebody else to take care of you. And that you're engaged with your own life. Right? You're not expecting, your partner to do your laundry all the time, you know, or buy you clothes. You can do these things for yourself. So these are just tangible real world things. It doesn't have to be hard, but a little bit of infusion in yourself. They see it. Your partner sees it. Everybody around you sees it. They go, oh, wow, look, this person's engaged with life. They're on their path. Like they're breathing. They're not just withering or dwindling or something like that.
Why are men so resistant to going to the doctors? It is something I have seen time and time again.
Well, we definitely have this stereotypical tendency to think I've got everything under control. I know everything I need to know. I'm the best. You know, we've got this kind of like male ego thing. So going to the doctor is acknowledging that I need help, that I need support. It's like asking for directions. I don't want to do that. I'll figure it out myself. I'm a man, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, how long do you want to live? How much do you love your life? How much do you love your partner and want to be there long-term for them? You know, a lot of guys are depressed and they're on dark pathways, maybe substance abuse or misuse or overuse, we could say, addictive patterns and stuff like that. Because they're unhappy. A lot of, you know, so there's this concept of our male ego, like, oh, we've got everything under control. I don't need any help. Puff up our chest kind of thing. But it's a fallacy. You know, we're in this body is kind of, you could say, is a machine and it needs maintenance. And the older we get, the more maintenance it needs. Like if you have a 50-year-old car compared to a 2-year-old car, what's the difference, you know, in maintenance? So it's good to downshift that perspective that we've got it all under control and we don't need any help, that we're fine, the rugged individualism and stuff like that, and replace it with, oh, I can have support, you know, help me, let me go do some healthy things that'll help me feel better. And that's like going and working out, and the more you do it, the more you enjoy doing it, the better you feel, the better you look to people around you, the more magnetic and catalytic you are. Like, it is, where are we putting our energy? What's the course heading that we're on?
So how can men become more confident and comfortable in bed?
Well, there's so many things that we can do. thanks for asking that great question. The like most basic foundational thing I teach in the first chapter of the book is doing Kegels, doing pelvic floor exercise. Guys think that if they've heard of Kegels, they think, oh, that's for women. That's for vulva owners. Well, no, guys have pelvic floor muscles too. They're the muscles that we use when we want to contract when we're defecating and when we want to stop the flow of urine when we're peeing. It's those muscles. But those are the same muscles that are used to pump blood into our penis to help our erections get fuller. Those are the same muscles that contract when we're having an orgasm. And each contraction, 1 second apart, they feel so good. The ejaculation feels so good. It's those contractions of those muscles. And if you don't keep those muscles fit and toned, then over time they weaken and your orgasms lose intensity, the contractions dwindle, you get less number of contractions and your semen doesn't squirt out as powerfully. Generally, it feels weaker and weaker and weaker until maybe you're not able to get an erection anymore. Maybe in your 40s or your 50s, you start dribbling a drop or two of urine after you stop peeing. Like your underwear gets a little bit wet afterwards. Like that urinary incontinence is a sign that like you're losing tonicity in your pelvic floor muscles. Use it or lose it. if you want to be better in bed, keep your pelvic floor fit and toned, or try to recover some if you've lost some. And that's as simple as doing a pelvic floor exercise routine or a Kegel routine. You can get it for free download on my site. You can look them up on the internet. It's just about regular exercise with a moderate intensity, not high intensity, not like raw, I'm going to work out and get big muscles. Like, no. Slow down, Sparky. Lighten up here. It's about doing it regularly with moderate intensity, not trying to attack it with everything you've got. You don't want to hurt yourself. But as you tone those muscles, you're able to get erections easier when you want them, which can be a problem for some penis owners. Hard to get it up sometimes. It's easier to maintain an erection longer, even after you ejaculate or have an orgasm. I've been practicing this for a while, and now I can have an ejaculatory orgasm and stay hard through my refractory period and keep having sexual intercourse and keep going. And which is lovely with my fluid bonded partner, where then the semen is a lubricant and everything's really juicy and yummy, and I'm still hard, and she gets even more pleasure. So just doing pelvic floor exercises for fitness of your genitals and your sexual organs is so empowering in the bed. If you can last longer during intercourse, that's empowering. It makes you feel more powerful, makes you feel more confident about your prowess with your partner. And it's better for them and more satisfying for them too.
Can you explain to the listeners what the refractory period is in case they don't know?
Typically, a male, when he has an ejaculation, has his power, his arousal, and his erection wilt. And he goes flaccid and soft, and he can't have intercourse for a while physically, can't get the penis in because it's soft again. Or, you know, and that might last for 5 minutes for a 15-year-old. It could be half an hour for a 50-year-old. It's different for everybody based on the level of the tonicity of their pelvic floor and their sexual level of fitness.
Awesome. And I'm so glad that Kegels is a part of your book, right? Because this is something that I give to men. And, it, you know, quite often it's like, why am I doing this? You know, I explain it, but it's still a bit like, oh, it's for pregnant women and women after birth. So I'm just so glad that this is like, I don't know, the word Bible came to me, like in your sex Bible. Sex Bible.
Oh, fun. I like that. sex Bible. Dun, dun, dun.
Because it's so important and people just don't know, you know. On one of my other episodes, we spoke about exactly what you said, you know, penis owners have a pelvic floor because that was big news to people. So they have a pelvic floor and they should be using it by doing these Kegel exercises. Is such an important point that needs to be out there even more. So yeah, thank you for making that such a big part of your book. That's awesome.
Everybody wins.
Exactly.
And just like if a human being feels more confident in their own body, that's a beautiful thing. And it touches all the aspects and areas of our lives. So starting with our sexuality, our root, this is a very core feeling about ourselves. Do we like what we've got? Do we like our ability in the bedroom or not? That liking ourselves or not can shift. If we build more confidence, we can like ourselves better. And that radiates out to everyone that we touch.
It's been awesome having you here today. Thank you so much for joining me. Can you please tell the listeners where they can find you?
I get censored a lot. So you want to find me, go to my website where I'm not censored, consciouscock.com.
And I'm going to post that on the show notes page and also those links that you were speaking about. And I remembered what the book's called. It's called The New Male Sexuality, although it is old. Okay. It's old, but at the time it was new. So The New Male Sexuality. Yeah, so you can check that out. It's quite
a
big one. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. It was awesome. Have a lovely day.